me, and you watch this moment where Abraham is walking up the mountain with Isaac, and Isaac's like, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" And you just hear this kind of calm, cool, collected, "The Lord will provide."
Like an assurity.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it was faith, but there's this resolve, mm-hmm. Well, today's message is on peace.
Oh,
so is on good. Peace. And I think of even David walking in, you know, your favorite story, is David walking in, and as he says, you know, "Hey, I'll take care of Goliath." And it's this faith combination, but an internal resolve of really just peace. And then I think of even Ruth in the midst of losing everything in her life. She says to Naomi, her mother-in-law, who's now not even her mother-in-law anymore because mm-hmm. of her husband's died, and Naomi's husband has died, and you know, there's almost this string of bad luck. And yet in the midst of it, she just has this decision. She makes this decision to follow Naomi. And I'm like, I was thinking about, first of all, I'm just so glad that the Bible is not written on my life.
No, because you would think your response would be panic.
Yes. In each one of these moments, like, I get that I know God, but it's difficult sometimes to really kind of resolve that inner peace. And you know what's interesting as we approach this idea of peace, I want to pray for us, and we'll spend some time unpacking it today. Father, we thank you for just the opportunity to be together. Lord, I'm so grateful for our church family.
Yes.
That wherever they find themselves today, sitting and watching, driving, on their way to places. But Lord, we make a priority to come to your word today as a church. Even though we may not be in the building, we are together. Because your word says we are better together, that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of the righteous.
Yes.
And so Lord, I'm so excited for Thursday night. Our worship night, I just, amen, by the way, I'll say amen.
Amen.
I just want to remind you guys to register online for our worship night.
It's going to be something.
I'm believing for literally a revival for all of us. I think all of us need some
revival. Think about when we are together in a room, something begins to happen that's separate from, it's great when you're at home watching it, but when you're present in the room, the Holy Spirit just does something. It's going to be lit.
You know what's interesting as we talk about this idea of peace, that in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrow." I think, Jesus, you're not even really talking about peace there. Like you're describing something completely opposite of a peace. And I think what's important, as peace is not manufactured by things or situations.
Say it.
It's not the absence of tension or a domestic tranquility. It's not achieved by mental gymnastics or discovery of meditational sounds.
No.
Or peace is not anything else. Peace is actually, because in John 14, 27, here it is, and you need to see this. "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give." And I think as we start the approach of peace, that we recognize that without God, there is no real peace.
No.
That peace cannot be had outside of this existence of God giving us this gift of peace. So I think about even the woman in the Bible that was suffering for 12 years with this issue of blood, and the anguish that she had every day as she literally had to leave her home. You know, when was it going to happen? How was it going to happen? Who was going to see? How would she stop it? You know, people would judge her. People would yell it out. And in those days, you know, everybody was pointing out everybody's thoughts.
She was an outcast.
And mishaps,
yeah.
Because that was the way the law interpreted by man was really designed, this point out everybody's wrong. And Jesus says to this woman as he heals her, "First of all, woman, you are well. Now go in peace." And you see this idea that this woman now was able to walk from this place without all of the mental anguish. Philippians 4:7, Paul gives this extraordinary verse as we kind of lean into peace this morning, recognizing that peace is not the absence of struggle or strife, But peace is something so much more that I think as we kind of continue on, we're gonna be able to get into. But Philippians 4:7 says this: then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Peace, the reality of a position of complete rest.
So good.
I love the story, and I think, Faustin, this is kind of the story that I want to spend some time on this morning. And I'm just so glad you're here. I feel lonely up here.
Brother. I'm just saying amen. Amen.
It's like I'm in this giant room, and I needed someone up here to be with me. But
it's a privilege.
But there's a story of Jesus, and he says to his followers, they get into this boat, and he says to his followers, hey, we're going to the other side. And then it, as the Bible begins to describe kind of the scenario of the setup, and I love how the Bible does that. Yeah. You know, Jesus says something, and then the Bible begins to set up the moment of when God is going to, like, you know, show himself real. And it says that this massive storm began to arise around the disciples, and water was coming in the boat. And then it says this phrase, Jesus is asleep on the boat. Now, I've been on... my family and I, we went on this cruise, I think it was maybe last year or whenever it was. But when we took off from dock and we were headed out to sea, the first night there was a massive storm. And we went to bed and I thought everything was okay. And I'm laying there and I fall asleep. And in the middle of the night, I wake up and I have the hot sweats and I am so sick to my stomach. And I pop up out of bed and everybody else is asleep. Like, you know when you wake up at night and you want your, like, family to be miserable with you?
I've known the feeling.
Yes, like,
you
like,
come wake
on.
Everybody
yes,
up.
Yes, like, everybody should be awake with me. And so I get up, and I think for sure as I put on my clothes, and I'm, like, you know, making these kind of dry heaving sounds, and I'm miserable. I'm thinking somebody surely is going to wake up. And no, they're all, like, nestled babies in the boat as it's rocking to and fro. Okay. So I get out and I figure, man, I just need some fresh air. So I go on top, and that's even worse. I am so sick now. I go to the main deck and I'm pacing, trying to calm myself, and it just gets worse and worse and worse to the point where I just find myself, you know, going from garbage can to garbage can as I'm working my way down to the doctor's infirmary room. And I just tell him, like, listen, there's nothing you can give me that's oral. I need a shot. Because I'm done. The only way that I'm so seasick is gonna end is you gotta get me off this boat. Oh. I gotta get my feet on dry land. So I know what this feels like as the disciples are panicked in the midst of this storm, and there's Jesus.
That's right.
Asleep. It even says that he's got a little cushion underneath his head as he's resting. And I love what the disciples say is, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? I think what's amazing about how our mind works in situations of that we assume are non-peace is that our mind actually begins to create non-truth.
Yeah.
That our mind makes up stuff to help describe the scenario and give us kind of a connection to what's about to happen. And what's amazing is in this moment, they actually make a declaration that, Jesus, you don't even care about us, which is an absolute, complete non-truth.
Wow. Yeah.
By the way, that's what this upheaval in our lives, when moments where we find ourselves even having to make a decision, or we lose our job, or we're in sickness, or there's unrest, or, you know, people at work, or our spouse, our family, whatever that looks like, it's crazy because I really feel like this story describes what true rest looks like.
Yes.
and what true rest doesn't look like.
Yes.
Because the followers of Jesus, their mind plays tricks on them in this moment where they actually need peace more than ever. Mm-hmm. They have to make a decision. Are we going to continue or are we going to drown? And their mind immediately goes to a lie. Mm. Jesus, you don't even care about us. And then what's crazy is in the midst of this, Jesus is awoken by the followers. And he's not even impacted by the storm around. As a matter of fact, and this is the way I saw it, Faustin, is he took the internal rest that he had and he moved it outwardly and he declared it to what was around them.
So good.
He said, peace, be still. And how do we even speak in our moments of unrest this idea of peace? It's almost like, if it doesn't start in here, there's no way that we can communicate it externally. Mm. And so I want to connect peace. And he says this. That was in Mark 4. I already said it. He got up and he said, peace be still. But Paul relates the idea in Philippians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Peace can only come when there is covenant, because one cannot rest without assurance.
So good.
I think, Faustin, without assurance, it's impossible to have internal peace. But where do we, what does that look like? And as I begin to spend more time in Scripture looking at the idea of peace, is that we can't have peace without covenant. And covenant is, it defines the relationship on how God says he is going to keep it. Mm. Covenant is how we define staying together. Contract, we sign a contract, yeah. It defines the premise of how we will separate.
Yes.
But covenant defines the way we stay together. And we as human beings cannot find rest outside of covenant, because we need assurance. We need this assurance that allows us to know when Jesus says we're going to the other side, I need to know that his word is true and that there is covenant relationship, that God promises he won't leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I have rest internally. It doesn't mean that it's going to be not surrounded by turmoil. It means that internally I'm able to lay my head in the midst of the storm and have peace, and then even be able to communicate that peace because it's internally. I have experienced the covenant of God, the promise of God.
So
that way I can have assurance knowing that he is for me. That covenant was made by the death of his son Jesus into a new covenant. Jesus died as the fulfillment of God's promise to us that through his son's death, we are now in a right relationship with him. Mm-hmm. We have access to God the Father through his son, Jesus. So here it is. Peace is the characteristic and the mood of covenant. Mm. Peace is the mood of covenant. So because God said, listen, that in spite of all, I am going to make a promise with mankind that there is nothing you can do to actually fix this relationship. The Bible describes that the wages of sin is death, that there's no way we can actually fix ourselves. So how can we have peace, Faustin? How could we have peace when actually we legitimately have no way of actually changing our surroundings or even internally?
Yeah.
Because promises are broken and nothing is kept.
Yes.
So there's always this fear that like literally if you make a promise to me, I can pretty much guarantee it that somehow it's going to be broken, which then brings us to this place of fear that we're always in a constant state of turmoil internally. So then it comes back on us.
Yes.
We have to figure it out.
Mm.
And what I like about this is that peace becomes the mood of covenant. Mm. It is the character of covenant. That peace is the anchor to our soul because we know that he who promised is faithful.
I mean,
he demonstrated it with his son.
I mean, because you think about it, when you're talking about man versus man, that you make a promise to me, I can't hold you to it because you have faults. But God goes to extreme lengths to show you how committed he is to what he's telling you. I'm going to send my son. He's going to die, the ultimate sacrifice for something he did not do, to show us I'm going to keep my word.
Yes.
You can count I'm going to keep my word.
Yeah, I not just I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to literally step out from heaven, from the place that I designed for my presence to be for eternity. I'm going to come and I'm going to put myself in your world and I'm going to take care of all of the things that you can't do. I'm going to put my blood, I'm going to pour out my blood as the sign of the covenant that I make with you.
So good.
That nothing can break this covenant when you say yes to my son.
Wow.
So I've got a verse that I want to kind of expand on this idea of peace and how it's connected to covenant. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, it says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Mm-hmm. He united Jew and Gentile into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separates us. Mm-hmm. He did this by ending the system of law and its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from these two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. Our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to the Gentiles who were far away from him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. Peace is the work of the Holy Spirit as the down payment of the covenant promise. Jesus said he must go to the Father, who will then send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces peace in us as a sign of the covenant. Now, what's crazy about that verse that I just read is that he connects this idea of us, that the hostility and the jockeying for position and the need for man to be above someone else, that all of that internal struggle gets to be at rest because we recognize that God has brought both of us to the place of honor, both of us to the place of promise, both of us to the place of sons and daughters.
Wow.
Which is connected to his promise. And then what he does is he settles us. That I don't have to be at strife with anyone because I have peace. And he will not let me down. For he who knew no sin became sin for us.
So good.
Philippians 4:7 says, and by the way, the enemy hates it when we are at rest, even with one another. And Philippians 4, as Paul talks about this interaction between us and God, he says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
So this covenant promise does two things. It resolves our internal conflict, and it brings peace to the thoughts that we think about, I'm not enough. I can't please God. I've always been trying to please those around me, or I don't belong, or the negative thoughts that are constantly disqualifying us, and all of that internal turmoil where we even want to blame someone else for our lot in life. Yeah. And when we recognize it, because of Jesus, the internal turmoil that we feel has been resolved, and we have this at rest. And that word at rest is connected to covenant. It's this idea that we can settle into now the new position of blessing and inheritance and love and grace that we get to operate from.
So good.
So it resolves the internal conflict, which then brings peace in our mind. And then second is it resolves our external need, the need for success, position, and power. Because no longer am I trying to strive for something.
Speak on it.
I've already been given it, Faustin. I don't have to worry that you might be seen as better or get more favor, because ultimately my Father has given me exactly what I need. So I don't even have to worry about whether someone else might get my place or my position. Can you imagine like living your life without all of that internal and external turmoil, that finally I get to be at a place of rest? And then I can be who God made me to be. What does this look like? The Father gives us peace through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it comes through prayer. And that's what I love this. Because we have to lay down our internal and external struggle at His feet.
Yes. Our minds literally need to shift. Because when you and I, the old is gone, the new is here. And this is what He's saying. In the new, you don't have no need. In the new, you have no strife. In the new, you have more than enough.
Yes.
You have everything. Like God owns it all.
Yes.
In the new, your understanding is you've got it. So just chill.
And I, without this interaction, and I think it's actually the interaction of covenant.
Yeah.
Without the interaction of me bringing what I have, and then honestly, it's like when my kid hurts themselves when they were really young. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to be held.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not even when they hurt themselves, when something happens from like a friend or someone says something mean to them, they come home and they just want to know that everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
And that's why I think Paul connects this with prayer, to experience that peace that overwhelms your mind and your heart, you have to bring that internal turmoil, lay it down at His feet so that He can settle it, knowing what He is towards us.
So good.
So Jesus, in the boat, He's like, listen, we're going over to the other side. I have a covenant with my Father. My Father has a covenant with me that His promises are always going to be consistent, and He's going to get me where I need to go. So by the way, I don't even fear death.
No.
I fear nothing because I trust the Father. And that trust, the characteristic of that promise is rest. So guess what? I'm going to lay in the boat. I'm going to be at rest, and we're going to get to the other side. And I think when Jesus wakes up and the disciples are like freaking out, and the enemy has so lied to their mind, He's like, what is going on? What is happening? Do you not know what the promises of God are? Do you not know that He has moved heaven and earth to put me in your boat?
Wow.
I am here. I am the sign of the covenant. Jesus, the ultimate sign of God's promise to us. And He spared no expense to bring Him here and settle it all so that we can have internal rest and external peace. Ooh, man.
Can you imagine what that looks like in our walk with God? That to think that if you knew what God has said about us, that if you knew that God has said you are going to get to the other side, that it settles it. That I don't have to fight with myself, that the war that takes place is settled. I know one way or another we get to the other side. So I might as well just sleep.
Fawson, the good news is that at the end of the day, I remember my pastor, Pastor Wendell, when he was battling cancer before he passed away, and he made this statement that It was so funny. Pastor Jenny, his wife, had it printed on golf balls because he loved golf. Yeah. And I have it in my office. I have a picture of him, and I have this golf ball, you know, sitting right there with the picture, and it says, no matter what, we win. But the only way that you can recognize or even live in that statement is because of covenant.
Yeah.
If you're not in that covenant relationship, which God the Father says it comes through his Son, the Holy Spirit is the down payment that brings. So peace only can come from God as his promise settles it in us. Mm-hmm. We have to lay it down, what the fear is and the strife and the struggle, lay it down and let Jesus arise in our life and speak to the winds and the waves internally so that we are not moved. Now Foss, and I want to bring it in the remaining time into this application of how it interacts between us. Mm-hmm. Because Paul in the book of Ephesians connected it to this idea of Jews and Gentiles, two different groups coming together and becoming one. Mm-hmm. I think it's impossible to interact with each other without, first of all, having the resolve of peace. Mm-hmm. And James chapter 1, verse 19, and this is my kind of closing section of we're landing the plane, is in James chapter 1, verse 19, he says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So let's apply this incredible verse that James is trying to help in the flow of us being together, how this works. Well, I can't be quick to listen if my mind is not at rest. But when I know that God has me, it allows me to truly listen. My mind is not cluttered with the noise of my internal conflict. Because here's what happens, and we all do it. Mm-hmm. You're like sharing with me, or like do it with your wife. Like she's like talking to you, telling you something, and the whole time you're like thinking about what you're, or it's either something else, or you're developing your argument. Mm-hmm. You can't even actually hear what she's saying because you're in this internal conflict already. So then the next section is, it says, slow to speak. I no longer need to fight for my position or use my words to make myself feel better. I already have done that in prayer, which frees me that I don't have to say anything right now, which usually gets us in trouble.
Always.
And so then I can use my words to respond at rest.
Wow.
So the first is I get to listen because my mind is at rest. I speak because I'm at rest because my external needs. So remember, we're going back to the position, success, and power. Wow. When all of that has been resolved and I'm not trying to fight for my position, and I can be at peace internally, then I can use my words to bring life, healing, love, value, care. And then finally, it says, slow to get angry is I don't have to get my way because I trust Jesus is guiding my life. So no matter where I am, he will help me find a way. I don't have to be frustrated with my circumstances because I completely trust that I am where Jesus wants me.
So good.
It has to connect. What I love about God's word is it always deals with us and God. Mm-hmm. And that actually changes us. Covenant relationship. Yeah. He started it.
Yeah.
I respond. And in that response, then I can respond to my brothers and sisters in kind. Mm. So when I understand that the mood, the characteristic of covenant is actually internal peace, and I'm at rest in the in the in the midst of war, tension, strife, then the Holy Spirit can use me to be his vessel of peace.
So good. So good.
And Paul brings it all together as he says in Romans chapter 8. And I know that they don't have verse 32 up there, but I think it's important to start with 32 as it says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Mm-hmm. Verse 35, can anyone ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, which is once again the storm around us, does not equal peace. But because of his love, he settled it in us. We are able to be his vessels of peace here on earth. Don't let the enemy lie to you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to try to. I think the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate supernatural peace so that you can make decisions in the days ahead not based on reaction, but based on the settling that God's covenant love to us has provided through the blood of Jesus. And as we close today, as we come to the conclusion, I think wherever it is that you are, coming to a place where you lay it down, you know, you come to your knees, you however that interaction with the covenant maker, as Paul says, lay it down. Jesus, I give you. And I think it's important to articulate what it is that you're feeling. Otherwise, Fawson, I think we miss the opportunity of what this interaction is.
Yeah.
And it's not even just based on my needs. It's the why behind the what. That prayer becomes the reflection of the why behind the what of what's really going on, the internal conflict, so that the Holy Spirit can put at rest those things through his covenant love. Yes. He speaks to it.
Yes. It's like an exchange.
It's an exchange. He speaks to it. And so the Holy Spirit wants to speak to the areas of your life that are at turmoil so that you can walk from this place in confidence and boldness and actually do it with brothers and sisters in this idea of being one. And so it starts with, first of all, recognizing who Jesus is. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. I humble myself before you. I surrender my life to you. God. Jesus, I need you. I've been trying to drive my own life and make my own decisions, and those decisions have been based on fear or pride or arrogance or need. And Lord, there's so many things that are driving me, and I'm afraid. And in the midst of the storm, the enemy is lying to me. My mind is filled with lies of terror. You don't even care about me. And now, this is the beautiful part. Covenant releases the Holy Spirit to settle. You are my sons and daughters. You have been given position and favor and blessing. You don't have to strive any longer. There's no one you have to prove it to. You can be at rest. And that rest surpasses the external situations and causes you to be almost asleep in the boat. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We need you And we enter, we exchange today. It's in moments like this where the Bible says that grace is given, which is the ability to have what you need to take the next step. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are bringing peace that surpasses our mind and all of that surrounds us so that we can actually be quick to listen to those around us and understand what they're actually saying because you listen to us. Slow to speak, Lord. We don't have to defend ourselves or even you. But when we do speak, we speak from the place of generosity.
Yes.
And then finally, Lord, we don't have to be frustrated anymore at our lot in life. That we can be at rest knowing that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it.
Yes.
Come on, friends. I love you. And I believe that there is something extraordinary that Jesus wants to do right now in this moment. And let us worship with this last song before you go into your day and walk and rest in his peace.